الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد ان سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Respective brothers and elders, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The Imam Sahib mentioned on two occasions words of praise regarding me. He said, highly recommended by Sheikh Ahmad Ali. Only those souls are worthy of being revered who are highly recommended by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nobody else. Secondly, I will praise the Imam Sahib now. And this is not an accident on his part, it is solely a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I will say that in many years I have not read a Taraweeh like today. And I mention again that this is not from Imam Sahib. This is a gift and a mu'jiza of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Holy Quran, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has called A'zamun ni'am. One hadith recorded by Sayyid Alawi rahmatullah alayhi in his book Khasa'isul Umma al-Muhammadiyah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been reported to have said that من أعطاه الله حفظ كتابه, whosoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants the hifz, the memorization of his book, meaning he makes him a hafiz. From this we learn that a person does not become a hafiz from his own efforts and from his endeavors and struggles. A person who is a hafiz is only a hafiz through the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَظَنَّ أَنَّ أَحَدًا أُعْطِيَ أَفْضَلَ مِمَّا أُعْطِيَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted in Quran and he reveres and looks up to somebody else. He holds somebody else who is not a hafiz, who has some worldly career. He holds him in high esteem and thinks, I wish I was like this person. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on to say, فَقَدْ صَغْضَرَ أَعْضَمَ النِّعْمِ. Subhanallah. He has disdained and he has looked down on the greatest bounty a man can ever obtain from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is أَعْضَمُ النِّعْمِ, the Holy Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to fulfill the rights of the Holy Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to fulfill the rights of this holy month. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to fulfill the right of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are two factors which contribute to a date being very special. One factor is virtues mentioned by Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding certain dates in the Islamic calendar. For example, the period of Hajj is very, very virtuous because Allah has mentioned the virtues in the Holy Quran. And another factor which contributes to a day being special is history. When a day, when a week, when a month, or when a year
is a historical day, week, month or year, and that becomes special. We find both of these factors in Ramadan. And we find that speakers usually speak regarding the virtues of the month of Ramadan. But Ramadan also has a great history to it, which also adds to its virtue. If we look in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find many great incidents and events which took place in the month of Ramadan. We find that the first encounter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the cave of Hiraa. After all, the month of Ramadan is the month of the Holy Quran. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. The month of Ramadan in which the Quran was revealed. It has a very strong and a close link to the Holy Quran. So the first wahi and revelation which was revealed upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the cave of Hiraa, when he was 40 years of age, the ulama of Sira, they write that the age of 40 is an age where man reaches his physical and spiritual peak. It is an apex of man's physical and spiritual maturity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would grant his chosen souls, the anbiya alayhi salatu wa taslim, he would grant them with nubuwa and bestow them with nubuwa at the age of 40. And this first encounter in the cave of Hiraa between Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the most virtuous of the angels, Jibreel alayhi salam, was an amazing encounter. And this took place in the month of Ramadan. Hafiz ibn al-Hajar al-Asqalani rahmatullah alayhi, he says that the most authentic view is, and this has been attested and confirmed by Hazrat Mawlana Idris Kandelvi rahmatullah alayhi in Sirat al-Mustafa, the most authentic view is that this first encounter with Jibreel alayhi salam was on the 17th of Ramadan. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will observe i'tikaf before receiving Prophethood. And narrations mention that his grandfather, Abdul Muttalib, he would also observe solitude and seclusion in the cave. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in search for the ultimate creator, would observe i'tikaf every year in the month of Ramadan. And this particular year, on the 17th of Ramadan, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he met the angel Jibreel alayhi salam. Jibreel alayhi salam entered and offered salam. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Now remember, this salam was prior to the verses of the Holy Quran which talk about salam. So he is practically demonstrating the verses of the Holy Quran which were to be revealed. وَإِذَا قُيِّيْتُمْ بِتَحِيَّةٍ فَحَيُّوا بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا أَوْ رُدُّوهَا. And salam is the identity of a believer. A beautiful hadith I came across in which Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha relates to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا حَسَدَتْكُمُ الْيَهُودُ عَلَى شَيْءٍ مَا حَسَدَتْكُمْ عَلَى السَّلَامِ وَالتَّأْمِينِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. The Jews are not jealous of you on anything as they are jealous of you of salam and ameen. These are two great gifts of this ummah. This ameen we have after وَلَى الضَّالِينَ. Many of us thinking we are Hanafi and we say ameen silently. And then it goes so silent that it stops. There is no more Ameen. So Ameen is a great gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon this Ummah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It means Allahumma sajib. Ameen itself is a dua. It means, oh Allah, accept. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied to this salam. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You could imagine the divine illumination, you could imagine the divine radiance. You could imagine the divine blessing upon the cave of Hira at the time. And Jibreel alayhi salam, he commands Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, iqra', read. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately replied, ma ana biqari, I am not able to read. Now what does this mean? Two main meanings why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was unable to read. First and foremost, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as you know, was unschooled and unlettered. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to challenge the world, kept the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam away from reading and writing. Many people translate ummi as illiterate. This translation is wrong. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not illiterate. He was a man who possessed knowledge of the former and the latter. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's knowledge surpasses the knowledge of the entirety of humanity. If you place the knowledge of the Anbiya alayhi wa sallam beside Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one side of the scale, and the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the other side, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's knowledge would outweigh the other knowledge of the other ulama. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not illiterate. He was unschooled and unlettered. He received no formal schooling on the face of this earth. So he's saying, ma ana biqari, I am unable to read, was due to this. And ulama have mentioned another point, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's blessed and pure heart, which was cleansed on many occasions, the ulama have mentioned, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's blessed heart, his blessed chest was split on four occasions, and his blessed heart was obstructed and cleansed. One, while he was in the care of Halima Sa'diya radiallahu anha, at the age of four. The second occasion, at the age of approximately 10. The third, on this instant, when gaining prophethood, and the fourth, on the night of Mi'raj. In the night of Mi'raj, the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was cleansed using the water of Zamzam. Subhanallah, the utensils and the tray was brought from Jannah, but water was not brought from Jannah, it was Zamzam. What does that go to show? That the Zamzam water is more virtuous than the water of Jannah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, ma ana biqari, I am unable to read. The second reason why ulama mentioned why he was unable to read is because his blessed heart was left so awe-stricken and taken aback at the nur and the divine illumination that Jibreel alayhi salam brought with him, but he could not read in the presence of Jibreel alayhi salam. Because this was the first encounter of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was awe-stricken. He was struck by awe. So he could not read. And he says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that Jibreel alayhi salam embraced me so forcefully, that there was no extremity to my suffering until I could not bear it anymore. And then he let go. And then once again he said, Iqra. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ma ana biqari, I cannot read. And the same thing happened again, another embracing. On the third occasion, Jibreel alayhi salam, اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. These five verses were revealed. Subhanallah, this is the first point of the history of Ramadan. The ulama, they have mentioned that this book, prior to the Holy Quran, the Tawrat, the Zabur, and the Injil, and the Sahaif, and the book revealed upon Sayyidina Ibrahim ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, these were also revealed in Ramadan. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he received book from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the first of Ramadan. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he received the Tawrat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the 6th of Ramadan. On the 12th of Ramadan, Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam, he received the Zabur from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the 18th, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, he received the Injil. This is the history of Ramadan, and this adds to the virtue of Ramadan. And we find that the equivalent of the experiences of the previous prophets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let me explain. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he was invited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Mount Tur. An appointment was made. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَوَعَدْنَا مُوسَى ثَلَاثِينَ لَيْلًا. We made an appointment with Musa for 30 nights. وَأَتْمَمْنَاهَا بِعَشْرٍ. And then we completed and we added to these 30, 10 more nights. فَتَمَّ مِقَاتُ رَبِّهِ 40 لَيْلًا. And he completed 40 nights. He would observe fast in the day, and this whole period of 40 days he observed an i'tikaf. And then he left behind Sayyidina Harun alayhi salam to guide his people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, وَكَلَّمَهُ رَبُّهُ. His Lord spoke to him. So he had this sharaf and this honor and this privilege of speaking with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he built a desire to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he says, Rabbi arini anzur ilayk. Oh my Lord, show me yourself. I want to see you, not knowing that these physical senses in this worldly life do not have the capacity to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied, لَن تَرَانِ. You will never see me. It is impossible in this worldly life to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَكِنِ انظُرْ إِلَى الْجَبَرِ. Look towards the mountain. فَإِنِ اسْتَقَرَّ مَقَالَهُ فَسَوْفَ تَرَانِي. If it stays firm and stable in its place, then you will surely see me. فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّى رَبُّهُ لِلْجَبَلِ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made an appearance on this mountain, جَعَلَهُ دَكَّنْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this mountain to smash. He smashed this mountain to civilians. وَخَرَّ مُوسَى صَعِقًا. And Musa alayhi salam fell down unconscious. فَلَمَّا أَصَافَ قَالَ سُبْحَانَكَ. When he regained his consciousness, he said, Allah, glory be to you, Allah, إِنِّي تُبْتُ إِلَيْكَ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. I turn towards you and with tawbah, I repent. Now the ulama have mentioned, Hazrat Mawlana Idris Kandeli rahmatullahi alayhi, in Ma'arif al-Qur'an, he mentioned a beautiful point. He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the equivalent of the entire experience of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. The 30 days, the equivalent of his 30 days are the 30 days of Ramadan. The equivalent of the 10 days which were added to the 30 are the 10 days of i'tikaf. The equivalent of speaking with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the recitation of the Holy Quran. And the equivalent of seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as felt and perceived spiritually by the highest saints of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also the recitation of the Holy Quran. One who recites the Holy Quran with sincerity and ikhlas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him لذة and will grant him such pleasure which is found in seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this whole experience is also given to the ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is nothing but the blessing and barakah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the same way, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, he also observed i'tikaf and he fasted for 40 days in the wilderness. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the month of Ramadan granted him the Injil. So Ramadan has a beautiful history to it. Another beautiful and amazing event which took place in Ramadan is the Battle of Badr. The Battle of Badr, as referred to by the Holy Quran, is Al-Furqan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the Battle of Badr using the same word that he refers to the Holy Quran with, Al-Furqan, the differentiating factor between truth and falsehood, the battle which drew the line between haq and batil. Similarly, the Holy Quran is a kitab. It is the kalam of Allah which draws the line and exposes batil, and it draws the line between truth and falsehood, between haq and batil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposed batil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he annihilated batil, he annihilated falsehood through the Battle of Badr. Subhanallah, the Battle of Badr was a stepping stone to the honor and the splendor of Islam. And it also marked the beginning of the end of kufr and shirk. The Battle of Badr was an amazing battle. The background of the Battle of Badr is that in the early stages, in the early days of Ramadan, in the second year after Hijrah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he learned of the trade caravan of Abu Sufyan returning from Syria. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he addressed the Sahaba al-Kiram, saying that this is a perfect opportunity for you people to demand your asset that was seized unlawfully in Makkah Mukarramah and to regain some of those assets. Because this trade caravan of Abu Sufyan, the wealth injected into this trade caravan was not only the wealth of one or two merchants. They say that every child, every woman, every elder and every youth in Makkah Mukarramah injected wealth and capital into this trade caravan. And this same trade caravan was returning from Syria. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told the Sahaba ikram that this is a perfect opportunity. Let's go and regain some of the assets of ours which were seized by these municipalities in Makkah Mukarramah. We were compelled to leave, let's regain some of it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was addressing the Sahaba here in Makkah Mukarramah. And here are the trade caravan, Abu Sufyan, he apprehended that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going to intercept his caravan. He was anxious, he was concerned that this may happen. So every traveler Abu Sufyan was meeting, he was asking regarding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Have you seen Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Now one particular traveler, he told him that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was consulting his Sahaba regarding intercepting your trade caravan. So you should make some move. You should change your route or send a message back to Makkah Mukarramah. So Abu Sufyan, what he did was, he paid a man called Zamzam al-Ghifari. He paid him a sum of money to go back to Makkah Mukarramah and to inform the people of Makkah Mukarramah that come very quick, rush, because your capital is at risk, is in imminent threat of attack. Now, Zamzam al-Ghifari, he went to Makkah Mukarramah and he passed this message on. Here in Medina Munawwara, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had set off. 1 mile out of Medina Munawwara, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stopped for a visual inspection of this army. Now this army of people, they were unarmed. Subhanallah, Allama Iqbal, he mentions and he depicts this whole scene in Urdu in a beautiful manner. And he said, تھے جن کے پاس دو گھوڑے چھ زرے اور آٹھ شمشیریں بدلنے کو آئے تھے دنیا بھر کی تقدیریں. سبحان اللہ. Those who only possessed two horses, six armors, and eight swords, they came to change and transform the destinies of the entirety of mankind. That is all the Sahaba Ikram had. Barefooted, that is why the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the plain of Badr was, Allahumma innahum kufatan fahmilhum. Oh Allah, they are barefooted, carry them. وَجِيَعُنْ فَأَشْبِعْهُمْ. They are hungry, they are poor. Oh Allah, fill their stomach. So these Sahaba that within the Battle of Badr, they had not intended to fight. They only intended to intercept the trade caravan of Abu Sufyan. So upon this visual instruction, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent back some of the younger Sahaba, weren't capable of traveling and fighting if need be. And then they continued. Here, Abu Sufyan, he changed his route. He changed his route and he took the coastal route. And he reached Makkah Mukarramah. Once he reached Makkah Mukarramah, the people of Makkah had already set out. Upon the call of Abu Sufyan, they had set out with an army of 1,000 fully equipped men. Their commander was Abu Jahl. When Abu Sufyan reached Makkah Mukarramah, he sent a message to Abu Jahl saying, you may return now because the purpose of you leaving was to save your trade caravan. And we have reached back safe and sound, you do not need to go now. Abu Jahl was adamant. He said that we have set out, we need to reach Badr. And we will go to Badr, and we will stay there for 3 days, we will enjoy ourselves, we will drink, we will eat, and we will listen to music. We will have a little festival there and come back. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 1 or 2 days into the journey, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he consulted the Sahaba ikram. He made a mashwara regarding what to do. News of Abu Jahl coming with an army of 1,000 fully equipped men reached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he consulted the Sahaba ikram. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran instructs him to do so. How virtuous for the Sahaba ikram that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to consult them. وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. Make mashwara with them. Upon asking the Sahaba ikram, as usual, the first person to show his enthusiasm, to express his allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was none other than As-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he expressed his allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thereafter, the second person was none other than Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. And this is the order. We find a hadith in Mishkat al-Masabih in which Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he says that the order of the ranks of the Sahaba ikram during the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, كُنَّا نَقُولُ وَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ حَيٌّ أَبُو بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرُ وَعُثْمَانُ. That while Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was alive, we would maintain the same order of fadilat and virtue. Abu Bakr, then Umar, then Uthman رضي الله عنه. سبحان الله. So then Sayyidina Umar رضي الله عنه, he expressed his enthusiasm to be sacrificed in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter, Sayyidina Miqdad radiallahu anhu, he addressed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in such beautiful words. He said, اِنْزِلِ مَا أَمَرَكَ اللَّهُ. Go ahead with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded you to do. فَوَاللَّهُ لَا نَقُولُ كَمَا قَالَتْ بَنُوا إِسْرَائِيلَ لِمُوسَى. By Allah, we will not say to you, we will not say as the Banu Israel, the children of Israel, the Israelites said to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. And what did they say? اِذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ فَقَاتِلَا إِنَّا هَهُنَا قَاعِدُونَ. You go and your Lord, both of you engage with the enemy and fight. We are here, right here, sitting. We are not moving. He says, we are not going to say this. What did he say? وَلَكِنْ اِذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ فَقَاتِلَا إِنَّا مَعَكُمَا مُقَاتِلُونَ Go with your Lord and engage with the enemy. We are with you fighting. نَحْنُ نُقَاتِلُ عَنْ يَمِينِكَ وَعَنْ يَسَارِكَ وَبَيْنَ يَدَيْكَ وَخَلْفَكَ We are going to fight on your right and your left, in front of you and behind you. SubhanAllah. Sayyidina Al-Iqdal radiallahu anhu. So upon hearing these mashwara and these views and these opinions, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided to proceed, to continue. Now, the kuffar, they had reached Badr before the Muslims, and they had seized the best areas, the areas with water. The Muslims, they reached Badr, and the land on the side of the Muslims was squashy land. It was land in which their feet would sink. It was sand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds the Muslims of His favor, وَيُنَزِّلُ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً لِيُطَهِّرَكُمْ بِهِ Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I send down to you rain. I send down on you rain. Why? So that this rain may purify you. It is stated that the Sahaba-e Kiram, they look funds so that they can save this water. And from these funds, they were able to perform ghusl and wudu. And the same sand, which was squashy, which would make their feet sink, the same sand became hard ground. They reached Badr. On a little hill, a fort was erected for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a small fort. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is stated in one narration, Sayyiduna Anas radiallahu anhu, he reports from Sayyiduna Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, that on the eve of the battle of Badr, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took us out on the plain of Badr. And he was pointing at the location, exact location, of where each chieftain and each man of the Quraysh was going to fall. هذا نصرع فلان, هذا نصرع فلان, هذا نصرع فلان. This is the place where so-and-so is going to fall. Abu Jahl will fall here, Umayyah will fall here, so-and-so will fall here. Anas radiallahu anhu, after the war, he says, وَالَّذِي بَعَثَ مُحَمَّدًا بِالْحَقِّ I swear by the Lord who sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the truth, no chieftain of Quraysh, if none of them fell beyond the location that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed at the night before. SubhanAllah. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he reports that on the night of the battle of Badr, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the rest of us fell asleep. The only person who was awake was the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such was the shafqat and the affection and love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for his ummah. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that if this small group of believers is annihilated today, who would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who would be left from the ummah? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained awake the whole night, engaged in dua and salah. In the morning, the time of fajr, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announced. He made an announcement that it is time for salah. He gathered all the sahaba ikram and he led them in prayer. After Salatul Fajr, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he spurred the Sahaba ikram to engage the enemy, to fight the enemy with their zeal. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he formed the lines of the Sahaba ikram, and he went back into the hood. Now was the time for the Mubaraza. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw the Quraysh advancing. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at this point also made dua. But wallah, this is Quraysh. They have come and they are advancing to challenge you and falsify your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, grant me the help that you have promised. Oh Allah, annihilate this group of people. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went back into the hood. It was time for the Mubaraza. Mubaraza means when from one side a few men or one man emerges and says, "Hal min mudarib?" Is there any combatant who can come and fight me? Three mudarib came out from the side of the kuffar, Utbah, Shaybah, and Walid. And from the side of the Muslims, Awf ibn Harith, Mu'awwid ibn Harith, and Abdullah bin Mawaha, radiyallahu anhu. Three Ansari Sahaba. As they came up to these kuffar, the kuffar said, "No, no, we do not want you. We want our own people, the Muhajireen, those who fled from Makkah. Those who were with us in Makkah, we want them. We want people from our own tribe." Then Rasulullah addressed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Ya Muhammad, akhrij ilayna akfa'ana min qawmina." That we want evenly matched contenders. "O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, send out your best men." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered, "O Ali, stand up." Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Hamza, stand." And Ubayd ibn Harith radiyallahu anhu. Subhanallah. Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu anhu was barely in his early 20s. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking him to stop. Now the mubarakah begins. Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu anhu, he is combating and he is contending with Utbah, with Walid. Ubayd ibn Harith radiyallahu anhu, he is contending with Utbah. And Sayyidina Hamza radiyallahu anhu, he is contending with Shaybah. Ali and Hamza radiyallahu anhuma, with a single strike, they finish off the enemy. But Ubayd radiyallahu anhu, he has slight problems. From both sides, they suffered injuries. But then during this period, Sayyidina Ubayd radiyallahu anhu, he was struck on his shin so badly that blood began falling profusely. Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu anhu and Hamza radiyallahu anhu, they came to his rescue and finished off Utbah. And then they took Ubaidah back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's bleeding profusely, he's in excruciating pain, but still he turns to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was only one man on the minds of the Sahaba Ikram during their times of happiness and during their times of grief, during their times of comfort and during their times of pain. And that was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and nobody else. Not their mothers, not their fathers, not their sons and not their daughters, not their brothers and not their sisters. Nobody but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He turns to the Messenger of Allah and says, "Ya Rasulullah, am I a martyr?" The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Yes, you are a martyr." Then he turns and then he says, "O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have your uncle Abu Talib been alive? This point that he recited for you, he would even confirm that this is more applicable to me than him. And the point is, وَنُسْلِمُ حَتَّى نُصَرَّعَ حَوْلَهُ وَنَبْهَلَ عَنْ أَبْنَائِنَا وَخَلَائِنَا." Subhanallah. Then we will only surrender Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once we fall dead around him after trying to protect him. And once we become completely unaware and oblivious of our own children and our wives. That is the only time that we can surrender Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when we no longer are living. Until that time we cannot surrender this man. Abu Talib, who died as a non-Muslim, he recited this couplet in praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now Sayyiduna Ubayd ibn Harith radiyallahu anhu, he is saying to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Had your uncle been alive, even he would confirm that these words are more applicable and I am the more deserving and worthy of these words than you." Subhanallah. And then the battle began in full force. Subhanallah, Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu anhu, he says, when I got some time during the course of the battle was in full heat, I got some time and I went to the hut of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At the door was Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiyallahu anhu, and inside with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in such. And he was reciting, "Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum." He was imploring his Lord. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he said that during the course of the battle, I got some time and I went to the mosque. And I found that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had his hands raised. And he's begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma anjiz lima wa'atani, O Allah, fulfill the promise you made to me. Allahumma in tuhlak hadhi al-isaba min ahli al-islam, la tu'bad fil ard. O Allah, if this small group of Muslims is annihilated today, you will not be worshipped on the face of this earth. O Allah, fulfill your promise. Continually, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua till his blessed sheep fell off his blessed shoulders. And then Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he placed his sheep on the shoulders of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he held the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, حَسْبُكْ فَقَدْ أَلْحَقْتَ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ. Now this is the most honest in the Rabb of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You have read your Lord enough. This was the shafaqah and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for this ummah. This was the battle of Badr. The kuffar were annihilated. 70 chieftains of the kuffar were killed. And 70 of the Quraysh were taken captive. So this was the battle of Badr, an event which took place in Ramadan. And this battle and this event also adds to the virtue of Ramadan. How? Because the battle of Badr resulted in many verses of the Holy Quran being revealed. And Ramadan is the month of the Quran. So through the battle of Badr, through the blessings of the battle of Badr, and through the blessings of the Badriyin, the Sahaba who participated in the battle of Badr, we receive many blessings. Another great incident, more of a love to the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which took place in Ramadan, was the martyrdom of Sayyiduna Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu in the year 40 Hijri, in the month of Ramadan. On the 17th of Ramadan, Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu was martyred. After Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu had dealt with the Khawarij, a very, very staunch group who had stood up against him, who would actually label him as the kafir, na'udhu billah. He had dealt with them and they had all dispersed. Three of their leaders, they gathered in Makkah Mukarramah. Abdul Rahman ibn Muljim, Barak ibn Abdullah, and Umair ibn Bukair ibn Umair ibn Bukair. And they gathered in Makkah Mukarramah to make a mashura as to what we should do against these three men. According to them, these three men were the most corrupt men on the face of this earth. SubhanAllah. These men were all companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu, Sayyiduna Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, and Sayyiduna Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu. And according to them, these were the ones who were causing the most corruption in the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they gathered and they said, let's get rid of them. How do we do so? Let's fix a day. The day is going to be the 17th of Ramadan. Abdul Rahman ibn Muljim said, I will take care of Ali radiallahu anhu. Barak ibn Abdullah, he said, I will take care of Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu in Dimashq. And the last one, he said, I will take care of Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, in Egypt. They all went their way and they had the day planned. It should be at the time of Fajr on the 17th of Ramadan, the year 40 Hijri. Abdul Rahman ibn Muljim, he went to Kufa. And he never confided with anybody his intentions. He bought a sword, the narration states, for 1,000 dirhams. And when the date drew closer, he told a few of his close associates what he was going to do. And some of them joined him. Now the second time came, and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he's speaking with his son, Hassan radiallahu anhu, the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, last night I saw a dream. And I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes his beloved servant, he shows them dreams. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu also saw a dream of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before he was married. Now it's time for Sahri. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he has his Sahri. And the Muazzin, he calls him for Salah. And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu leaves his form, calling on the way. He was, his normal habit was that on the way to the masjid, he would call out of Salah, Salah, to wake people up. As he reaches the masjid, and he steps inside the masjid, not Abdul Rahman in the Muljim, but one of the men who was accompanying him. He struck, but he missed Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu with his sword. And his sword struck the wall instead. Immediately after him, Abdul Rahman ibn Muljim, he struck Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, and it is stated it hit his forehead. And the wound penetrated his brain. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, you can imagine how strong of a man he was. He was taken, and the other men besides Abdul Rahman ibn Muljim, they fled the masjid. Abdul Rahman ibn Muljim, he attempted to hide inside the masjid, but he was caught. And he was brought before Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said that if I die in this illness of mine, then Abdul Rahman ibn Muljim needs to be killed. But he made a wasiyah. He said to his son that do not perform mutla. Mutla is chopping the nose and the ears and taking out the eyes, meaning disfiguring the face. Do not perform this. Just kill him with the strike of a sword, and that is it. And if I do not die, then I will decide what is the best punishment for Abdul Rahman ibn Muljim. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was martyred. Over in Dimash, Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu was leading Salatul Fajr. And Barak ibn Abdullah, he struck. But he got Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu on his lower back. It is stated that a few days of treatment was enough for Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, and he was better. Authentic narration states that Barak ibn Abdullah, he was killed thereafter, immediately after. But this strike of Barak ibn Abdullah's sword, it got to the sciatic nerve of Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. And as a result, he wasn't able to have children thereafter. He had children before this, but as a result, he was hurt so badly that he wasn't able to have children. Over in Misr, Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, that day he was ill. And he sent one of his army officers to lead Salatul Fajr. And Umar, who was appointed the duty of martyring Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, he entered the masjid. And he struck this man, this army officer, killing him, martyring him, thinking that it was Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu. Over in Dimash, Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, after this incident, it is stated that in his masjid he had a special place built, where he would stand with security around him. So this was the martyrdom of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. And this also took place on the 17th of Ramadan. Now Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was a great loss to the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was the flag bearer of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in all the battles. He was the flag bearer. There were three flags in the Battle of Badr. One was with Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, the other was with Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu, and the third was with an Ansari Sahabi. He was the one who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received Nubuwa on Monday, and he accepted Islam on Tuesday. At the age of just 10, the first child to embrace Islam. And one of the first to offer Salah alongside Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why he has been reported to have said, that I worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 5 years when no one was worshipping Allah subhanallah at the age of 10 he embraced Islam. He performed the ghusl after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he helped lower the blessed body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into the grave alongside the two sons of Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu anhu, Fadl ibn Abbas and Ghusl. This is Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. He was no normal Sahabi, my dear brother. At the time of the Battle of Tabuk, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he left behind Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu to take care of the family members of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the army had just left outside of Medina Munawwara. And the hypocrites, they began this rumor, and they began ridiculing Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. That he has been left behind with the women and children. Now Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was a brave heart. He could not take this. So he ran to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, this is what is being said about me. Please let me go with you. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say? أَمَا تَرْضَىٰ أَن تَكُونَ مِنِّي بِمَنْزِلَةِ هَارُونَ مِنْ مُوسَىٰ سبحان الله. You did not please you that your position with me is like the position of Sayyidina Harun with Sayyidina Musa ala nabiyyina wa alayhim as-salatu wa salam. Subhanallah. And Shias, they said this to mean that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu should have been the first Khalifa. And I have to mention this. Why? It's because much hate is being spread regarding Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And the Ahl Sunnah, Awam, and the public have to be taught. If on the member of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are not going to teach you, then who is going to teach you and where will it be taught? A hadith says, recorded by Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi wa al-Qasr wa Fatih, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, and I urge your local Imam Fatih and the other Aimma and the other scholars of this area to mention the virtues of the Sahaba al-Kiram and to guide people in regards to this fitna of Shi'iyya. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been reported to have said, إِذَا ظَهَرَتِ الْفِتَنُ وَصُبَّ أَصْحَابِي فَلْيُظْهِرِ الْعَالِمُ عِلْمَهُ فَمَنْ لَمْ يَفْعَلْ فَعَلَيْهِ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ وَلَا يَقْبَلُ اللَّهُ لَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ صَرْفًا وَلَا عَدْلًا أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. When widespread corruption prevails, and my Sahaba begin being sworn at, ridiculed, mocked, slandered, and what should an alim do? He should make his knowledge of halal. Which whosoever does not, an alim who does not make his knowledge of halal, then what is the azab and his punishment? Allah Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, عَلَيْهِ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cursed this man. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has cursed this man. The malaika, the angels have cursed this man. And the entirety of mankind has cursed this man. For what? For not making his knowledge of Allah. This is the high esteem of the Sahaba al-Kiram. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prophesied that the Sahaba will be slandered and the job of the ulama is to defend them at all costs. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَلَا يَقْبَلُ اللَّهُ لَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ صَرْفًا وَلَا عَدْلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept any optional worship and any obligatory worship on the day of judgment. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, that this did not please me that I am leaving you behind in Medina Munawwara, and your position with me is like the position of Sayyidina Harun ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam with Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. Meaning he was left behind when Musa alayhi salam went to collect the revelation. I mentioned the Shias, they say that from this we learn that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he should have been the first Khalif. There are many answers. The main answers are, how can this be approved when Sayyidina Harun ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam passed away before Musa alayhi salam? How was Sayyidina Harun ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam a Khalifa and a successor of Musa alayhi salam when he passed away before him? The successor of Musa alayhi salam was Yusha bin Nun alayhi salam. His servant when he went to meet Sayyidina Khadir. And his servant at that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to him as Waiz Qala Musa li Fatahu, his servant. Yusha' bin Nun alayhi salam. Later on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him prophethood, and he was the successor of Musa alayhi salam. This is the first answer we give to those people. That Sayyidina Harun alayhi salam, he passed away before Musa alayhi salam. And another answer we give is that this comparison, we can say that at the time of the Battle of Badr, a narration states that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consulted the Sahaba al-Kiram in regards to what he should do with the captives of the Battle of Badr, and Sayyidina Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he was more inclined towards taking ransom from them and then freeing them. And Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he was more inclined towards slaying them, killing them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed Sayyidina Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu and said, "O Abu Bakr, your nature is like the nature of Isa alayhi salam and Ibrahim alayhi salam. Isa alayhi salam, what did he say? In tu'adzibhum fa'innahum ibaduk. Ya Allah, if you punish these people, then they are your people. You have the right to do so. Wa in taghfir lahum fa'innaka anta al-azizu al-hakim. And if you choose to forgive them, then you are the all-powerful and you are the all-wise." And Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, فَمَنْ تَبِعَنِي فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَإِنَّكَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Whosoever follows me, he is on the same religion and creed as me. وَمَنْ عَصَانِي and who disobeys me, فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. That you are the all-forgiving. If you choose to forgive them, you must forgive them. And then he said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said to Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, "O Umar, your nature is like the nature of Sayyidina Nuh and Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, who cursed their nation, who made bad dua and prayed against them, supplicated against them." Sayyidina Nuh, what did he say? "Rabbi la tazar ala al-ard min al-kafirin dayyara." O Allah, wipe the kuffar off the face of this earth. And Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, "Rabbana smith ala amwalihim, washtud ala qulubihim." O Allah, destroy their wealth. And O Allah, washtud ala qulubihim, seal their heart. So this comparison with the Prophet and saying someone is like somebody else does not mean that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu is going to be the Khalifa and the successor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these are just a few fada'il of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Inna Allah amarani bi hubbi arba'in. وَأَخْبَرَنِي أَنَّهُ يُحِبُّهُمْ." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he commanded me to love four men. And he also informed me that he'll also love them. قِيلَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ سَمِّهِمْ لَنَا. It was said, "O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, please name them to us. Who are these four men?" And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, "عَلِيٌّ مِنْهُمْ عَلِيٌّ مِنْهُمْ عَلِيٌّ مِنْهُمْ." Ali is from amongst them, he said this three times. وَأَبُو ذَرْ وَالْمِقْدَادْ وَسَلْمَانْ. And Abu Dhar, Al-Miqdad and Salman رضي الله عنهم. These are the Sahaba Ikram of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another hadith recorded by Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi wa sahih. Sayyidina Ali رضي الله عنه, he said that وَالَّذِي فَلَقَ الْحَبَّ وَبَرَأَ النَّسَمَ. That by Allah who split the grain, and I swear by Allah who created the soul, إِنَّهُ لَعَهْدُ النَّبِيِّ الْأُمِّيِّ إِلَيَّ. That the unlettered Prophet has told me, أَنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّنِي إِلَّا مُؤْمِنِ وَلَا يُغْجِبُنِي إِلَّا مُنَافِقٍ. That it is only a believer who can love me, and it is only a hypocrite who can hate me. This is Sayyidina Ali رضي الله عنه. So the history of Ramadan is very fast. You find the first revelation, the battle of Badr. We find the martyrdom of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. And then we get the blessed chaste wife, pure wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the year 58 Hijri. Sayyida Aisha al-Siddiqa radiallahu anha, also on the 70th of Ramadan, she departed from this temporary world. Subhanallah, what a chaste wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said regarding her, فَضْلُ عَائِشَ عَلَى سَائِرِ النِّسَاءِ فَفَضْلِ سَرِيدِ عَلَى سَائِرِ الطَّعَامِ. Subhanallah. That the virtue of Aisha over all other women is like the virtue of sarid, meat and broth, over all other foods. Aisha zawjati fil jannah. Aisha is my wife in Jannah. Subhanallah.